gonna get to Morgan.
Ready? Good morning, this is Commissioner Susan Weefall. The commission is meeting for an informal hearing this afternoon in the commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol. The case before us is PU0547, PPM Energy, Inc., Rugby Wind Farm, Pierce County, siting application. Now, this is a continuation of a case that was started in 2005. The commission has granted already the siting application. The company has since changed names and ownership. It's now Iberdrola, is that correct? Iberdrola Renewables. The commission this morning at on our consent agenda approved the change in name on both the reissuance of the certificates that were needed for this particular wind farm. And now they're requesting approval of a revised layout using 71 Suzlon 2.1 megawatt turbines instead of the 100 GE 1.5 megawatt turbines contemplated when the certificate of site compatibility number 5 was issued.
Can I ask just a procedural question to staff? From a docketing standpoint, how will this be docketed on a going forward basis? The number will be the same, correct? Will we change the case number? Will change? So the case number will be the same. Will the title of it change, though, from PPN to Iberdrola?
You know,
I'm just wondering from a search standpoint, you know, if folks were to go out.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And use our web-based application. And actually, it kind of applies to other
issues as
issues
well.
Issues, too, when we have changes.
When we change.
But something to think about.
Something to think about and that we'll work on to see if that can be accomplished within our system. Now, we have with me today my fellow commissioners, who you just heard from, Commissioner Tony Clark. Tony, any welcoming comments at this time?
Good morning, or good afternoon, and welcome. Good to see you back.
And Commissioner Kramer.
Good afternoon, welcome.
And with us also is Commission Staff Jerry Lean, one of our staff analysts and engineers. And then we also have a representative from the media present, Dale Wetzel with the AP. And then we'll go next to the representatives of Iberdrola Renewables. Go ahead, please. Just announcing your names.
I'm Tim Sack with Iberdrola Renewables.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Lauren Spender representing Iberdrola Renewables.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to you both. And then we also have some people who are sitting in, and if you'll identify yourselves in a loud voice so that it can pick up over the internet. Good. Nice to have you with us. Thanks for taking the time to travel down to Bismarck to participate in this informal hearing. If you have some comments, the commission would be glad to hear you share them in a little bit. Okay? All right. And
Ryan Rauschenberger, Department of Commerce.
Okay. Nice to have you with us also, Ryan. Okay. Now, generally what the commission does in these informal hearings is we turn it over to the applicant to describe your application and lay out everything for us. So if you want to proceed, Mr. Bender and Mr. Sect.
Just make a brief introduction.
Lawrence, you might want to bring the mic right over. Okay.
Right over to you, and then share it. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'll just make a brief introduction, Commissioner, and then I would like to turn it over to Mr. Sec. Since this is an informal matter, I think it might be easier, rather than having a question and answer session, he can just spend a little time describing what we're doing. I think this is a really relatively straightforward matter. You described it very well in your introduction, explaining what we're here to do. You may recall that this matter was permitted back in 2004, and back in 2004, there was an indication of what type of turbines we would be utilizing. Since that time, Iberdrola Renewables has decided to change the type of turbines it's going to use. As a result of that, there's going to be fewer turbines on this site than was initially anticipated. We did file a map with the commission with our application back in August 14th of 2008. What we brought with us here today is another map. This map is just a little bit more detailed in nature in that it's going to set forth much of the same information that is on the map that you have received, but in addition to that, it's going to, as Tim Sec is going to explain, it's going to set forth some alternative tower sites. So in the event they were to wanted to put a tower in a particular place, but for one reason or another are unable to because of a wetland or because of some cultural site, we would have on this particular map some alternative sites. So with that, I would just turn it over to Tim to maybe discuss in a little bit more detail the map, and maybe we could hand some of these out.
Yes, that would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Before I get into the specific layouts, is there any, how much communications happened with the landowners themselves? Has each of the landowners signed off on this before we get into them, or are there specific ones that have caused heartburn?
Commissioner Clark, that's a great question. And we have spent a fair bit of time with our landowners. We have staked out the location of the new proposed turbines. So everything that's in black and in yellow has been staked out. After it was staked out, we had a landowner meeting with the landowners and went over the layout in detail and asked questions and encouraged them to get back to us with any input on the proposed locations. And we, I guess the good news is the only real issue was, you know, a couple folks who had more turbines under the old layout were a little disappointed that some of the dots had disappeared. But generally, everybody's, I think, excited about the project, and we have no issues with landowners in terms of locations of the project. We'll have, or of the facilities, we'll have one more meeting with the landowners prior to construction where we'll be introducing our contractor, we'll be doing the work on the project and establishing a point of contact with our primary contractor and our construction folks. So we've got one more landowner meeting left, but everybody has seen the layout, they've seen the stakes on their property, and we've had no issues with the proposed locations.
Okay. Thanks.
Are the locations, we don't want to ask a lot of questions. We're going to try to let you go ahead. And so maybe I'll just save my questions, and then you, then as you go along. Go ahead.
So like Lawrence indicated, the green dots on the map are the locations of the 100 GE 1.5 megawatt turbines that we had, that you had looked at in the past.
Previously cited.
Yep. And so what we're moving towards are the black locations, and we've tried to use to minimize any disturbance with the landowners and the commission. We tried to use as many of the same locations that were previously permitted in this layout as in the last layout. The yellow locations are alternate locations. To date, right now they're not being proposed to be developed, but we needed to have some backups just in case we found any issues with the black locations. We just completed our geotech work about a week ago. That all came back clean, so it looks like we're going to stick with all the black locations on the map. So that was the one last thing that we needed to clear up before we felt comfortable that these black locations indeed represent the final locations. A couple of other things that are on this map, you can see in the middle there's a green area on the M. Brossard property.
Under the 74th Street marking?
Exactly. And that is where we're proposing to build our substation that will connect into the 230 line that will run south from here. We're also proposing to build our operations and maintenance facility in that location, and there will also be some temporary laydown of equipment during construction. So that green area represents where that activity is scheduled to occur. The other item, if you look on the south edge of the map, you'll see two numbers, RU8907 and RU6021.
Where is that, please, again?
It's right in the last curve of the transmission line. Mm-hmm. The round circle with the black dot in the middle, that's the location of the proposed SODAR unit. That's a permanent machine that's used to measure wind speed, use acoustics instead of, cups spinning. So it's a kind of a newer form of monitoring wind speeds that we install at all of our new projects going forward. And the triangle, the blue triangle, is where we propose to build our permanent Met Tower. And that will be an unguided about 200-foot structure. So those are, that's kind of it in a, you know, what we're proposing to do on the site in a nutshell. We're looking to start construction, you know, as early as late September, early October. And we're, the plan is to build as many foundations and roads as possible this construction season. Our hope is to build them all, but in the case that inclement weather trips us up, we'll build as many as we can and finish them off so that when the turbine equipment starts arriving in June of next year, we're able to take those components directly to each of the proposed sites and start erecting them, and not and eliminate any risk of inclement weather in the spring holding up the construction of our roads or foundations. So it's going to be a bifurcated construction season with turbines and roads this fall and the erection next year.
I have a couple of questions. You're switching from the GE 1.5s to the 71 of the Suslin 2.1 megawatt turbines. So what is the height difference now that we're looking at?
They're both turbines are being proposed on a, I think the GEs were on an 80-meter tower, and the Suzlons, I think, are on a 78-meter tower. The GE turbine diameter was 77 meters, whereas the Suzlon 2.1 is an 88-meter diameter rotor, so you're going to have 11
meters.
More meters.
So about 33 more feet or something.
Yep.
Of height. But
as far as setbacks,
we had addressed
go ahead
those.
Okay.
They were in here in
they
our
were?
Order already.
But as far, have you recalculated and made sure that
right.
all the setbacks are?
Yep.
I can't remember how it was. I'm sure 1 point something times the height, but I don't recall exactly
yep.
what.
We've recalculated and.
In 29, we had no wind turbine will be placed within a quarter mile of any U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service WPAs. We had no wind turbine will be placed within 500 feet of any large wetland complex. The wind turbine will be placed within 1,000 feet of any occupied residence. The wind turbine would be placed within 400 feet or the height of the wind turbine, whichever is greater. So that was good. From any developed road, transmission line, or adjacent property not under lease by PPM.
Right. And I just want to confirm that it's been recalculated with the new blade tip height.
Okay. And no wind turbine would be placed on the one parcel of land located in Section 24, Township 158 North, Range 72 West, within the project area, which is covered by an irrigation permit.
We will meet all those setbacks.
Right. During the time when we worked on this particular order, there was one landowner who was especially concerned. I've heard that person has since moved. Is that correct or not?
My understanding is that Mr. McIntyre has moved several thousand miles south.
Okay. All right. And then the present owner of that residence, where is that residence again on here?
On the far north end.
Yeah, I think it is
directly in Rolette County. I think he may have been in Rolette County, wasn't he? And
it was a small homestead, and I think it may be this parcel right here. Look in section 12.
I'm not finding that.
It's labeled a craft. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the landowner's former residence.
All right, and it presently there's the wind turbines, really. The ones that are in green with the black, those are the ones that are going to have a wind turbine, right?
Correct.
To be the same distance from that, and we had worked that out with him to have them be as far away as possible. So it's got to be more than 1,000 feet, I would guess. We're looking at this. It's more like a
mile.
It's almost a half. Yeah. And then on another question I had, substation. Jerry, had we previously addressed the substation in our other order, or do we need to address that in our subsequent order now?
Did the substation move?
It's always been proposed to be in Section 28 in the north half. But I guess we're adding a little bit more definition in this map as to where it's going to be.
The question would be, see, we had a transmission line that was sited separately, if I recall.
Right.
And it went from that substation to the existing line. So is there any change in that?
I don't think I think that we started right here with the substation being right here, and then our transmission line will run parallel to the existing line south to the Rugby substation. So I don't think it's changed, but I wanted to show it on this map.
So, you know, in my mind, if it changes the route of the transmission,
mm-hmm.
then we have some trouble.
But if it doesn't?
Otherwise, it would be...
Because we dealt with the substation in our transmission line case, not in this one.
Well, I don't recall if it was in both of them or not.
I thought it was in the transmission.
Was it?
I believe it was.
Uh-huh.
It would either way. It's going to be the endpoint of the transmission line. So.
Uh-huh.
So it's got to be in that one.
And then can you just refresh my memory? I can't remember whether you were going to be burying the lines that go between the turbines or whether they're going to be above ground.
All of the... We're going to have two overhead lines. Everything to the south of... South half of the site will be underground.
We'll the south half is below 74th Street, or
below. It's below. What is the tar road, Pat, that runs east-west through the middle of the site that has the curve? You got Highway 3 running north-south. What is the
this one? Through the school land.
Yeah, it goes through the school land. That's Highway 17. So everything to the south of that will be underground. We'll have an overhead line. If you see this blue line of Excel's line, if you look...
Now, where's the blue line here? Is that this one?
Yep.
Got it?
Sure.
It goes... Uh-huh, that would be helpful. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have an overhead 34.5... that's going to run from about here to here, and then south to here. So you have one overhead line running this route, and then we're going to also have an overhead line running from. It's going to start here, and it's going to run here and over to here. So you have 3 miles here, and about 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
Otherwise,
so
the collector lines themselves
will all be underground, yeah, except for those two links. And then the collectors will be feeding into those two overhead lines.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jerry. Did you have a question? I saw your...
Just those two, I was pointing out, were the only two that are going to be above ground.
Okay, and then you said there's an Excel line that also runs through that area? Just remind us about that one.
There's an XL. There's actually a couple of transmission lines running through the area, and if you look at this blue line that we were paralleling, that's an XL 230 kV line. And then you also just to the...
That's the one that goes up to the Alexson property there that we were talking about through Section 12.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Then you have a central power 115 line running west side of the Excel line, south into Rugby.
And that one is where? It's not shown on this map, all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
And are the yellow dots the ones that are your alternates?
Correct.
Sites?
Yeah.
And what's the largest distance that they're moving, the ones that you need to move? There's some that you said you have to move the location. Do the squares then represent kind of the new location versus what the rather than if they're not in the middle of the circle?
Right. And the reason for that is when you have a turbine with a larger rotor diameter, you need to increase the spacing.
Yes.
So in some cases, we dropped some of the middle turbines and another, and that allowed us to have greater spacing and then do a little bit of shifting, depending on the orientation. But you can see in the in this turbine string 87 through 91, we ended up dropping one, and then we were able to scooch some of the other ones over a little
mm-hmm,
bit.
I see that.
So we're just trying to create enough spacing to meet our
wider
spacing. Yeah, primarily further. East-west to meet our what we're required from the manufacturer to have between turbines, which is typically 2.5 rotor diameters, kind of on an east-west basis, and wider, greater than that on a north-south basis.
Okay, this is the question we really all want to know now, because the last time you couldn't tell us who you were selling the power to. And then eventually we did this siting rather, you know, made sure we got things done in a timely manner, and then you weren't able to sell that power. I think you had indicated to me at one point it might have been planned to be sold to Manitoba Hydro at one point, and then maybe they changed their mind. But so can you tell us who this is you're planning to sell this power to at this time, or do we need to wait some more?
Commissioner Weefall, that's a great question, and we... The answer, I think, unfortunately, remains the same. We're planning to build this regardless of who the customer is.
Okay.
We issued what we call the reverse RFP back several months ago. And we indicated to the market that we'd be open to selling the output of this project and two other projects, one in Illinois and one in Missouri, on varying terms, varying
mm-hmm.
quantities,
mm-hmm.
and we've since received responses back. Actually, the responses for the Rugby project were very positive. We've got more than enough demand for this project at prices that we're comfortable with. So
what you're saying, it doesn't have to be one particular buyer. It can just be that you're going to be selling into the market at prices that you can make it worthwhile for you to build the project.
I envision that there'll be at least three different buyers
mm-hmm.
for the output of the Rugby project
mm-hmm.
for the full output. There may
mm-hmm.
be some increment that less than that that's available,
mm-hmm.
but
so you're not intending it to be a sort of merchant plant like, say, the State Line one is down here that's just selling it at the market clearing price?
When we brought this forward to our board for approval, it was approved as a merchant project. They're certainly willing to move forward and build it on a merchant basis. But I think they're also open to selling up to 100% of the output should it be favorable through PPA. So we're going forward, regardless of who the purchaser will be and what quantities. And if it's a merchant project, so be it. But we're pretty confident that we'll have the full output sold before it goes commercial at the end of 2009.
I'm sure folks in the Rugby area are happy to hear that.
Yeah.
And then the queue issues have been a real concern, for many people with MISO. I understand you're interconnecting with MISO, but I also understand that you were very close to the front of the queue. Is that correct? So that you're ready to go once this project is ready to go?
That's exactly right. From an interconnect perspective, we were at the front of the queue,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of the reason why this project is going forward. Because
yes.
It's probably the most valuable part of the project.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. So this is a big deal for you.
And we've been, the interconnect has been in suspension with MISO, but we have been making payments on upgrades remote
uh-huh.
that are required for our interconnect to make sure that once we felt comfortable moving forward with it, that interconnect would be ready to go. So, yeah, it's a very valuable component of the project.
And then another thing that I learned recently, and it made me change how I view projects that are even built in North Dakota, is that I heard that the Illinois Commission had recently bid out some projects. They wanted to buy some wind, and they ended up buying it from Texas. Now, that was interesting to me on two things, because one, Texas is very self-contained, and I thought that all their power needed to stay in Texas. But the other thing was that it certainly isn't adjacent to Illinois. It's not like it's in Iowa or even in Wisconsin or Minnesota, for that matter. It was quite a distance away. So that is, it shows how if a purchaser is interested almost anywhere in the Eastern Interconnection, that they would have an opportunity to purchase the power that's generated here in North Dakota. Would you agree or not?
Absolutely agree. In fact, we've got interest from states or from utilities and buyers from states that are not contiguous with North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of the far reaches of MISO are expressing interest in North Dakota wind. So
mm-hmm.
We're excited about that, and we'll get to the finish line. So that's great.
Okay, this
is
really
good. Opportunity for expansion of this site?
Well, unfortunately, we don't have a, you know, the queue issue will become
this is
issue, for the next phase. And so, you know, we have land that isn't part of this project that's adjacent that could be used for an expansion, but we're not, I'm not out talking about expansion plans right now.
We're just happy to see you moving forward on this one and able to use that. Now, Jerry, just for the record so that the commission understands, when we issued this findings of fact, conclusions of law back in October 3rd of 2005, then how long, tell us what the length of time is on a siting application like this, and when there needs, let's say, is this one still applicable, or, and let's say they had waited another 10 years, would it have still been applicable? What is the length of time that a siting application is?
I put that in the memo I put up. Should have went out last night, but my email was screwed up. 49-22-17 provides 4 years for a certificate that is valid. After the 4 years, it requires that the utility is certified to the commission that the site continues to meet the conditions upon which the certificate was issued.
Mm-hmm.
So this was issued 2005.
Right.
They're about three years into it now.
All right.
So they'd have another year left. After
okay.
that, they'd have to certify.
And would you go through the other provisions of your discussion?
In the order in paragraph 3 said that within the permitted area, PPM is authorized to site and construct up to 150 megawatts of wind turbines ranging in size from 1.5 to 3.0 megawatts.
We were very forward-looking at that time.
Yeah. As identified in the proposed and alternate location map that was filed with the commission back then. And it would appear then that they were authorized in that order to use these bigger turbines.
Uh-huh.
And it's the only thing that's left is to approve the changes in the site layout plan.
Okay.
And there was an order in the paragraph that, or there was a paragraph in the order that said that PPM, the standard paragraph, shall obtain approval from the commission or from commission staff prior to any changes in structure locations. So it looks like to me that that's all that needs to be done.
All right. Thank you very much, Jerry, for that thoughtful analysis. Now, do my fellow commissioners have any further questions for Mr. Sect or Mr. Bender? And if, and then we'll go to people who have traveled down to see if they have, we have anything further.
I don't believe I do. I have a question. I'm sure we dealt with it before, but I'm just not sure I know the answer. Towards the north end of the project, section 11, there's a B-54. Right below that, there's a site boundary box. It's not in the permit. Do you recall what that tract is?
I saw that as we were sitting here today, too, and made a note to myself to double-check that. I think it's showing up as kind of the edge of our site, or that it's, it may may be a carve-out from our site, but I'm pretty confident that it isn't, and it may be a holdover. So, Commissioner Clark, I need to check that. And
you can show us all where he's looking, please.
If you look at this map, right here in section,
yep,
bottom of section, mm-hmm, 11, there's a small little
square.
Mm-hmm. And Commissioner Clark is asking a good question about, is that really a kind of a site boundary exclusion? And if so, we have an issue with B-54, mm-hmm, being that close. And so I need to double check that and get back to you with an answer on what that is. I was a little surprised when I was looking at that.
But otherwise, you have, I counted, is it 11 alternate sites?
Mm-hmm.
That you could use if that one didn't work out, right? Which is always good to have a few alternate sites.
And nearly all of those are on previously cited locations, or at least just slightly on.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to have gone to great lengths to keep basically the same footprint with a few fairly minor exceptions.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then Kevin.
I don't have any questions other than that was my only comment, was not only those, not only the alternate sites, but the other existing sites, you clearly, as Tony just said, gone to lengths to keep them close to the existing or two existing previously cited locations. In fact, what it appears to me, we've had more larger shifts in locations than this, on, you know, just as supplements to orders. So appreciate that. Makes all of this much easier.
Makes it much easier. All right, Jerry, do you have further questions right now?
I would note that this map is different than what was filed.
And so we should have them file it as exhibit.
Yeah, he did say that.
All right, would you, and I think we need one in electronic as well as a, is it 8.5 by 11 version, but we certainly appreciate the large ones, and if we can we keep these that you brought along today or not? All right, but we do need the 8.5, 11 by version and electronic copy filed.
I'll get those.
Late filed exhibit. Mm-hmm.
I'll get those filed either later today or early tomorrow.
Okay. All right, and then next we'll go to our guest from Rugby. If you'll please come up to the table. And do you have anything you'd like to share with us?
You're still for it, Pat and Brenda?
Yeah, 100%
of
the project. I've always been a good supporter of
it. Okay. All right. Glad to have you join us today for the hearing. And then, do you have any comments that you'd like to make?
Nope.
All right. Just sitting in and listening. All right. Okay. With that being the case, that no one has any further questions or comments, then we'll close the informal hearing on case number PU0547. Look forward to receiving that late filed exhibit and moving forward with this.
Okay, thank you very much.
Uh-huh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Jerry, you got one today, too, right?
So you just
got four?
Yeah.
Oh, you can keep it.
Well, you can file it.
The other projects are around the country right now.
I don't want one this big. Yeah. So keep that one for yourself. I was just going to keep this in my file and then file. I'll file 10 8.5 by 11s in an electronic copy.
Okay, and how many projects would you say that
Okay, so did they buy
all the PPM sites?
Sounds good.
They bought our whole parent company. So everything from PPM is now part of Iberdrola.
Iberdrola. So how many megawatts does Iberdrola have in the United States then?
In the United States, we have
at present we have
about 20. It's changing all the time, but I think we have about 2,500 megawatts.
We've
got about 7,000 worldwide.
Yeah.
It's one of the largest in the world.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Seeing you all the time up here, Lawrence, aren't we?
No.
That's great.
Yeah.
So remember,
squared away.
Yeah.
All sides.
Yeah.